It just takes a minute. I'm just gonna go back over here. Okay, there we are. Thank you, Allison. So welcome to the show, Allison. I have Allison West on the show with me today, and it's Heart at Work, creating an impactful legacy. And that's the name of the podcast. And I like to talk to people who are making an impactful legacy, whether it's in their life or in their business. And so I'm finally get to talk to Allison. We've been going back and forth on LinkedIn for quite some time. So now we're finally here. So hey. Welcome to the show, Allison.
Thank you so much.
Hey, you're welcome. So we had a deal where she could come on with the show and we'd celebrate her birthday, my birthday together, but didn't work out. She had jury duty to do. Can you imagine in COVID doing jury duty? But she didn't have to do it.
So. I know. So scary. Thank goodness. Didn't have to go in.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So Allison, tell us a little bit how you got started doing what you're doing. And just wherever you want to start, just go ahead and start.
You know, I think deep down in my heart, like I've always been a civil rights lawyer, you know, a civil rights activist, but that never really turned out the way I wanted to. And I wound up going to law school in my 30s, you know, just not really a plan. And then wound up practicing law and then fell into employment law. And I was like, oh, okay. Like this is like revving my soul a little. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, it was killing my soul because you're writing briefs and you're arguing and you're not always making as much of a difference. I was on the defense side, which it's kind of funny, Marilyn, because I always thought that I could make a bigger difference on defending companies because we could say, look, you really messed up, like pay and fix it and move on, right, as opposed to just suing. So, right. And then after doing that for a number of years, so for the last 20 years, I've had my own practice. So I really focus on the proactive end of employment law. So I'm an investigator. So I investigate harassment, discrimination. Okay. And now I've been doing even more on culture, just like, let's see what's going on in our culture, because we know there's unrest or there's been some other kinds of complaints. I coach executives that misbehave and yes, indeed, they still are, or they just need some skill building and just bringing teams together. So I do that. I do expert witness work and I do training, a lot of training, and I'm do a lot of public speaking on employment law and HR. So that's what I do. And I think I said expert witness. So yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah. Yeah. You have so many great skills and talents and expertise that it's just like, how'd you get all that experience? But, you know, it comes to us, you know, when we're out doing whatever we're doing, you know, I tend to try different experiences, whatever I'm doing. And somebody might say, you got a really weird background. I'm like, yeah, well, okay. You know, so we all learn, right? We decide, like when you decide to go to law school at 30, you know, I'm sure that you had a career before that too as well.
And yeah, then, or I was kind of floundering, right? And I, you know, it's funny, I am mentor to a number of women of different ages when they are like, I'm not happy doing what I want to do, or I really want to go to law school. I'm like, hey, I was 32. I became a lawyer at 36. I became a mother at 45. I bought my first house at 48. I'm like, you get where you get in life when you get there. And I try to really even mentor young kids. I have a 17-year-old, so I have a young guy. But I just say, like, you don't have to rush your life and you get your experiences, like you said. So I feel like my training experience helps with my speaking experience, helps with my coaching experience, helps with my expert experience. So I get to weave all of them in. They're not just separate buckets, but they're actually really connected. And, I mean, even today in an investigation interview, I was, you know, what the executive had done, like they could have worded better. And I'm like, I couldn't stop the trainer in me and just said, you know, next time you might want to just say X.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, I imagine that you come up across some very interesting cases and people that do strange things or people that do bravo things. And I'm sure it's never a dull moment in your career and what you're doing now.
And you know, the best part, especially with the coaching, and I love that so much. I mean, I believe in second chances.
Right.
And you know, it's so interesting when you talk about legacy, right? I love that word because it
Yeah.
can be impactful. I once was brought in to coach a billionaire. Okay, so how are you going to punish this guy? Like, what are you going to do to him? Like, oh, we're going to take away your first billion and not your second. I mean, like, what could you do? The threat of litigation would be painful for him. And how I approached it was, and they told me he will only give you like 30 minutes of time. And I
Right.
said, okay, well, my normal coaching back then was 4 hours for the initial meeting.
Right.
So he gave me 90 minutes. So I at least got three times as much. But what I focused on was his legacy.
Right.
I said, how do you want to be remembered? Because right now, this is how people are going to remember you. And I got to talk about Roger Ailes because he had just died at the time. I said, look, he's my politics, not his politics, but he started something, you know, that people love, Fox News and stuff. But the reality is people will remember he was a pig,
Yeah. Oh, not
like
really.
how he treated women and stuff.
Yeah.
So I just said, you get to decide what your legacy is. And he, again, a billionaire, created major things in life. And he just said, I never looked at it that way.
Right.
So you try to give people gifts at times, right? Like, look at it this way, how you can turn and fix and do things.
Yeah. Well, it's a very insightful that you were saying is like, okay, what are you going to do with a billionaire? Right. And you just said, okay, well, I'm going to approach it about how are you behaving or how are you showing up in life? And that's your choice. And for
That's
some
right.
people that might hit them and say, yeah, I got to change it, or, I like it, whatever,
But typically, you know, once you have something sort of thrown in your face, you know, like bad behavior or, you know, sort of shame, it's just people often want to get on the road to being successful and cared about and being empathic and decent. So I find when you take a mirror, not literally, but I tell them, I'm the mirror and I'm going to help you see how others see you. And sometimes, look, if people are very successful, because I don't coach people who aren't successful, because you would fire those people, right? You engage in bad behavior, you're a terrible performer. We're not going to call Allison, we're just going to leave. But when you get to say, look, you know, you're creating liability and your reputation, right? You got to go for the ego sometimes.
So, what are your specialty, Allison? I know we talked a little bit about, what you love to do, coaching people. So, what else do you do that you love to do?
So, you know, just for the work part, I mean, I do love to train, and it's like a broken heart every day that I don't get to be live and in person. So I've adapted to doing Zoom. And here's the thing. So about 15 years ago, I stopped using PowerPoint in my trainings. So I do discussion-based storytelling kinds of trainings, and or my style is. And it's very different, and that's how you can impact culture. That's how you can get people to like stop and listen and go, oh, okay. Like, I didn't know about that. When I talk about cases, and I'm required under our harassment laws to talk about the law, I don't just go, let's talk about what the Second Circuit said. I said, let me tell you about Marilyn and what happened to her at this company. And people are like, really? It's just a case. I don't know Marilyn, but I talk as though Marilyn and I are best friends. So everything that I do, what I like to do is to try to have some kind of teachable moment that people can, you know, walk away from. So the training is really a great passion of mine as well.
Yeah,
Really, I
awesome.
miss it.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. So, are you doing a lot of Zoom things, I guess, right now?
Yeah, because of the investigation. So I'm doing some days it's like three, you know, 2 to 3 hour Zoom sessions doing interviews. But, you know, I've spent a lot of time, well, I did starting like in April through the summer, training HR and other professionals how to effectively do remote interviews. Now, many of us have done, you know, Skype and other, but it's different. We're in a pandemic. It's a different way of looking at things. And I've been talking about how there's almost a little bit more of an intimacy now. Like for some reason, Skype, the connection wasn't always so clear. It just something seemed different, but now we're using webcams. And, you know, if I'm talking to someone about the pain that they perceive, you know, what they've been through, like, and I'm just staring at their face, right? It's just a pretty intense connection sometimes. So
yeah,
that's been really, you know, interesting, you know, teaching people, like we were talking, get a microphone, right? Yeah. Like do get things to, you know, make the experience better for folks. But yes, a lot of Zoom. I just got an invite today for Blue Jeans. I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to learn whatever Blue Jeans does. So it's been a number of years.
Yeah.
So yeah, learning all the different, you know, platforms that are the best and stuff. But
yeah,
the goal is to still do the teachable moment. So now I'm up to having, I think, 4 PowerPoint slides, just because you need a little visual aid. But you learn to use the breakout rooms and polling and try to be provocative and creative as well.
Right. So can you tell me what are the biggest challenges that you, of clients that you're working with right now, what they have?
I think for a number of my clients, what's so interesting is that, you know, people, managers who were managers before, mediocre managers, guess what's happening during the pandemic? They're really crappy managers. And that, so it's not like they got better working from home. And so I have a number of clients, like I said, I'm doing culture investigations. Mm-hmm. There's been some allegations of, you know, just toxicity in the workplace and stuff, but also trying to figure out like where the gaps are. What do people need to be able to get their job done? How are they approaching things? So I'm really seeing the challenge of how do you manage effectively remotely? Mm-hmm. I talked to someone, I said, how often are you checking in?
Yeah. He goes,
you know, like once a month. Oh my God. I'm like, I said, look, it's not good, but you could talk to your mother once a month. You need to talk to your employees a little bit more than that. Like you have to even just connect and say, you know, Marilyn, we're just having a 3-minute Zoom call, checking in, check your pulse, make sure you're alive.
Yeah.
What do you need? Is there one thing that I could do to help you today? Right. Like there, that human
caring.
Connection.
Yeah.
The caring, and it's so important. But one of my longtime clients just reached out and said, look, we're just seeing a lot of performance issues with our managers. And let's talk about managing within the law training, you know, coaching, documentation, all that kind of stuff. So I think that's something that is not uncommon.
Wow. Yeah, you would think that because we're doing more long distance, more Zoom stuff and web stuff or phone stuff, that we would be checking in more often, right? I would think that you would be checking in more often.
So. I think people just, you know, for a lot of people, this is awkward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like for me to have you know that I'm, you know, listening and looking at you, I have to look into my camera, which is up there, and your face is like right down there.
Yeah.
So it's these ways to connect. So, you know, I've been teaching managers and others, like, you know, verbalize more. Hey, when you see my eyes go down, it's because I need to connect with you, right? You're connecting with me when I look at you. When I look down over here, it just, I'm not checking my bank account. I'm looking at my note, right? Like I'm taking notes. So you try to help people, you know, understand. And I think the real problem comes down, to be quite frank, is people think like I have to like log in and meet someone for a half hour. Like I have to, and I'm like, teachable moment, like a moment. Like you could say, look, let's just meet for a 5-minute quick check-in. And you can actually accomplish a few things in 5 minutes. I always tell people, go put on your microwave oven.
Yeah.
Set the timer for 5 minutes. You can stack and unstack a dishwasher. You can make a couple of sandwiches, right? You can, so you could talk about one or two, you know, higher surface things to check in or a 10 minute. I'm not saying just five, but you could do shorter things that it doesn't take up a whole hour. And I really want to impress upon people to think about a short check-in because it could be very meaningful for someone.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you got staff who are feeling discounted or dissed because their boss or their manager isn't talking with them. Like I was reporting to this gal, and it just, I finally called her my dead zone. And she was a person that would schedule and do all the stuff that I was working with her. And I finally just said to her, she finally reached out a branch and said, can we have a call to get to know each other? And I think, you know what? It's a little too late for that now, because now I moved on and got, you know, other jobs or other work going. And, you know, I just said to her, you know, here's my problem. I have 20 emails I have sent you, 5 phone calls, I've called you, and you've never returned them. And now you want to put a little olive branch out to me. And I'm going, well, I appreciate your effort, but it's too late.
Right.
You know, and it's not to say that, you know, and I am hoping that maybe that she would learn from that and just say, okay, I got to reach out more often to people. And I'm not talking about going to Facebook and, you know, a broadcast. We're talking about one-on-one, right?
Yeah, that's right. The substantive. That's right. But again, I mean, I've had executives roll their eyes like, oh my God, do you, like, I am the chief financial officer of a major corporation. You think I literally have time to check in with people? And I was like, that would be yes.
Yeah.
And do short check-ins, right? And it doesn't have to be every day, but you know, we also don't know now what's going behind the scenes, right? Like I have my makeup on, I look all happy. But a few months ago, my son is a senior. It was a senior in high school.
Right.
So we had a lot of sadness in our house because my son missed out on his prom, senior ditch day, yearbook signing, graduation. Yeah. So not like we were, thank goodness, no health issues, but there was sadness because he handled it pretty well, but he was sad as well. And so we don't know what goes on for people behind the closed doors or behind the screens. Yeah. And it is that empathy that is so critical, right? That how we listen to people. Listen, you know, I always tell people, listen to what's not being said.
Right.
Like it's such an important thing, you know, like, oh yeah, everything's great, but they actually didn't answer the question, which is what's one thing I could do to help you, right? Right. And, you know, or, you know, when you dig a little deeper.
You're right, right, right. So what do you think are some good ideas that, like you already mentioned, just really listening to the other person, listen to what's not being said. Is there anything else that when people are struggling to reach out and contact each other or have a conversation, what are some, do you have any other ideas that people can do?
Yeah, one of the things that I talk about a lot to my coaching clients, and I've sort of been alluding to it, is if I just said to you, Marilyn, do, you know, certainly let me know if you need anything. So the chances of you asking me for something are slim to none, because you're going to be like, never mind, I don't want to have it dinged against me. I'll just do it myself, right?
Right.
But I say, if you can, and if I just said, you know, what do you need from me? And you'd be like, oh my gosh, there's so many things I don't know. And I equate it to when I had foot surgery last year, my friends would call, and it was my right foot, so I couldn't drive. They're like, what do you need? I'm like, in my head, I'm thinking, I need a little from Costco. I need a little from Safeway. I need a little from Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
And I would almost invariably say, never mind, it's fine, I'm good.
Yeah.
But when they called and said, I'm going to Trader Joe's, I'm like, could you pick me up my pita crackers from there?
Yeah.
So I think what we can do for each other is to say, what's one thing I could do to help you be successful now? Like what one thing I should stop doing?
Yeah.
Right. To be able to say to a manager, what's one thing I should stop? And the manager's like, well, and you say to the manager, if you could stop calling me every 20 minutes to see if I got the project done, right? I mean, it allows, allows communication. If you could say, what's one thing I should start doing? Well, you know, it's always really helpful, Marilyn, after you meet with the boss and you come back and give me a summary, so I kind of have an idea of what's coming down the pike. And you might be thinking, well, that's easy.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, should we plan a half hour? I'm like, if you could give me 5 minutes of just like a quick snapshot, and you're like, even easier. Yeah. So it's these little asks and stop with the bit. Well, I always ask what they need, but it's too big a question.
Yeah.
So that is one of my biggest tips for people is just give smaller bite-sized things. What's one thing it doesn't mean you're limiting right. it to one, but like, because it's much easier to say one thing than, oh gosh, like I need some more supplies. I need this. I need that.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially with you're working at home, like you were saying, it's so much easier just to say, oh, never mind, I'll do it myself.
That's right. So you want to empower people to say, like, look, you're on your island of your home, but we're all in this together and we need to be able to communicate and, you know, reach out. It's that, you know, it's that empathy, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, just acknowledging things. I think if we also pay attention a little more, like if you and I are talking also and I lean back, I go like this, I could be very relaxed or it's like bored or I'm just losing it. Like we need to just say like, we've been talking for about 2 hours. Is that too much? Like, let's end it. Like even my investigation interviews, I just, I will block 2 hours. And even if they have more to say, I'm like, why don't we take a break? Why don't we reschedule? Like, it's very hard to sit.
Yeah.
So I think it's being mindful in other kinds of ways as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so some of the other things, issues that have come up for you and your clients, is there anything else that people can think about or make an action plan for or they need to consider?
Well, I mean, there's certainly an increase in investigations because there's an increase in complaints.
Right.
Look, notice is the most important word any employment lawyer will ever tell you. What puts the company on notice? Like, and so we look at little things. So don't ignore the little things because they're going to become big things.
Right.
And, you know, when people are like, oh, you know, don't tell anyone, you got to tell somebody. So it's that whole keeping the secret. So I think I've seen, like, there's just lately been a big, huge increase in complaints.
Right.
And you have to do the right thing as an employer. So the challenge of how do you balance your finances with hiring an investigator or having an internal person do it, the disruption. Look, people are still gossiping, even though they're like doing it on Slack, you know, instead of being at the water cooler.
Yeah.
So I think that's it. I think the other thing I would mention is please don't give up on training. And while most people aren't doing live training, you know, people still want to grow during this time period. They want, you know, do lunch and learns, do something to keep that skill set going. It doesn't have to be so intense that you're doing a 7 hour managing within the law. Break it up to have like a 2 hour every few weeks to make it engaging, not just PowerPoint. So I think if companies could really, and the people that watch this, and I don't mean it to be self-serving because I'm a trainer, but you know, there's online, there's stuff, but keep the learning going. And I think people need that. And that's what I've been hearing as well. And also because I've just had this big uptick in trainings, like it was quiet for a month. And then people are like, I think as we get into the fall, people are eager.
Right. Yeah. They're realizing that they need something more to help them stay motivated or to just feel better or whatever it is that they're noticing, oh, I'm missing this. Oh, you know, like it's when we change our eating patterns or foods, you know, we notice things. So it's the same thing, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's you know, like our brain is, you know, this muscle, right? That needs it. We sit more than we have been, right? Like, I walked the dog right before this, but it's important to just keep our brains going and not just with the work. And I think the other thing is just, if you can have little social things, right? Just do a little Zoom fun party, come up with a theme, you know, just something that's different to connect people. You know, everybody gets a number and you got to learn about that person in a breakout room. I mean, there's some fun things you can do as well.
Right. So
I think that's part of it. And it starts at the top. Leaders have to stay in touch too. Send a little message every so often. If you're the CEO, check in. This is the fun thing I did. Write to this email and tell us what else you did that's fun if you're comfortable sharing. So I think thinking about culture, even though we're not together.
Right. Right. And so who are your best clients you like to work with, Allison?
I like clients that typically are just in tune with their workforce. Mm-hmm. You know, there's times, you know, I think of a cold call I got a couple of years ago. It was an HR person talking to me about my training. And she said, you know, our managers, I'm going to use the word because it's just, yeah, because they're a bunch of retards. And I was like, I said, excuse me, like, that's so incredibly offensive coming from HR. She goes, oh, you know, I'm just talking to you. I'm just joking around. And I thought, probably not. You're probably not. So my clients who are in tune, they're open to listening to other ways to approach different problems, how to bring people together. Right. Those are my favorite clients. And I feel very fortunate. I have a lot of longtime clients and we become partners.
Right.
And that becomes very special.
Yeah. I think partnerships and collaborative people that work with you is invaluable because you get to learn from each other. And, and plus you're still supporting each other in some aspects.
Yeah, that's right. And I, you know, I always want to get to know my clients. So if I have someone who's just like, you know, we only have 20 minutes, let's talk about, you know, 10 minutes on our culture and the rest on our other business, that's a little more frustrating for me because I want you to tell me, like, what issues have there been? I've had clients, I'm like, have you had any complaints, claims? And it's not that I need names and numbers, but I just say, you know, let me know because people are going to ask for my legal opinion during the training. It's like standard. Like, I have a friend at another company and I'm like, is that you? Right. Like, so, and one time it happened, like there were a lot of age question related questions, which is not always the most common. And I said to the client after, hey, I think the training went really well, but what about those age claims? She's like, how did you know? I'm like, because people kept asking about it and I will never lie about the law, but I could have, like, you know, just been prepared a little differently. So it's that candor and being able to say, look, we have issues and this is what we need to work on. So I love that in a client.
Right, right. Okay. So how can people get a hold of you, Allison, besides the podcast and whatever, but how, if they want to work with you, how do they find you?
Yeah, I have a website, employmentpractices.net. So you can reach me that way. I'm on LinkedIn. So my name, and so quite often people will reach out that way. I put out these little videos that I started. I have a video series called Teachable Moments, 3 lessons in 3 minutes. So I've been posting those on, I've just done 2 so far, but I've done that on YouTube and I put that on LinkedIn as well. And you can see my appearance on CBS This Morning and some other things. So it's, I'm out there.
Right,
so.
Right. You're getting yourself out there. Yeah. No, I've been watching a couple of, your Teachable Moments and I find them very helpful. Not so much that I'm in that space, but it's always nice to learn more about something and you can pass it along to somebody else. Hey, I just watched this great Teachable Moment. You know, do you guys have those issues at work? Or if not, then they can, you know, redirect them to you. So I think that's because we all learn from each other and we're all here to support each other too, right? Otherwise,
always.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's the point?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even the people that I coach, like there's always something I walk away with learning, like the way they interpreted something, their insight into something, their aha moment, like, uh-oh, I have done something wrong. There's always something and that's the joy.
Right. That's the joy. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've enjoyed your conversation, Alex.
Oh, thanks. I'm so happy to have been here. Thank you.
You know, I'm outside, so it's a beautiful night and the sun's just about to go down, but it's still beautiful out just the same. And I am sure it is where you are too.
Exactly.
So thank you for joining me today. And we'll be chatting with you very soon. And I hope that we could do this again another time.
And love it. Thanks so much. You have a great evening.
Another teachable moment.
Exactly. Many, many more.
Many more. Okay.
That's right. Thank you so much. All righty. Take good care.
You're so welcome. Okay. Bye. Bye-bye. And for everybody else that knows Mary Lynn, you know, it's all about being kind to yourself and kind to others. So take care of each other because that's all we have. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night.